welcome you all to this morning's service. And for people who are probably listening to us at a later time as well, you are welcome. We are in God's presence, and let's worship Him this morning. I just want to read a psalm, Psalm 84, a few verses from the psalm just to remind us. Psalm 84, verse 1 says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord is the sun and shield, and the Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in him." I think this passage kind of reminds us to dwell in God's presence. And I think as we've gathered together to give him praise and be in his presence, let's just dwell in his presence. Just be still and know that he is God. I think areas of our life where we need renewing and touching, he knows. He knows everything. And I think this morning, let's just dwell in his presence and know that he is our God. Let's pray. Lord, this morning, we welcome you. Lord, you are here in our midst even before we've gathered. Lord, this is your house and you dwell in here. Lord, this morning as we dwell in your presence and give you praise and give you adoration that is only yours, Lord, be glorified. Lord, be enthroned on the praises that is due to you now and ever. Let our lives be testaments of your praise. We give this morning service into your hands. And Lord, we pray that you will be glorified in all that we do, that we will dwell in your house all the days of our life. Amen. Over to Pam and the worship team.
Good morning. I don't know about you, but sometimes friends and family members say to me, "I find the concept of singing at church, I find that strange." I suppose I can understand that, but I say to them, "But it's not just singing, it's our praise and it's our worship." And people over hundreds of years have written these lovely songs to help us, because we can't always think of the words that we want to say, can we? I don't know about you, but the words of the songs really say what's in my heart. And I hope the next three songs will actually convey what you have on your heart. Psalm 147 says, "Praise the Lord, how good it is to sing praises to our God." And Psalm 146, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live." And the Psalms are great for conveying how we feel. 150, "Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens." And lastly, Psalm 145, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise." And we're going to sing that now.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we lift our hearts to you in love and adoration, and we praise you for your greatness. We know that you are mighty, and glory and all belongs to you, Lord. There is none greater than you, Lord. We give all our praise and our thanks to you because you are worthy, because you are faithful to us, and we know we can put all our trust in you. Amen. Please be seated. The sign-up sheet, and that is now at the, thank you, it's now at the back of the church there as you come in, and there's two pages and there's all different things on there. If you want to ask any questions before you sign up, or if you sign up, then we can talk to you afterwards, the different people that are leading those different areas. Please do have a look. It doesn't just need one name. It can fill up with names, because the more names that are on a certain item is the less you have to do it. So if there's 20 names once every 20 weeks, I mean, that's great, isn't it? So do have a look. Please do have a look and pray about it. If you don't want to commit yourself this week, then please do pray about it, and it will be there for a few weeks. Thursday, there is no care group. We've just started, now there's no care group. The premises are actually going to be used to host the newly accredited ministers' meeting. Claire has asked Polani to host Shotgate Baptist Church to host it, and we think that's a great idea. So it will be back the following week. Friday between 1 and 3, it's our art and craft group. And next Saturday at 9:30, it's the men's breakfast. And next Sunday, Juan will be preaching. Now, our first reading this morning is from Matthew 26, and it's verses 17 to 19. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. And now Pauline will bring our second reading.
Second reading is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, verses 26 to 30. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Amen.
This is the time in the service where we intercede for various things which God has placed in our hearts. And we also intercede for the Baptist Church in the EBA diary. I think God has kept us as watchmen and watchwomen in his kingdom. And God asks us to, when we see things, God asks us to intercede and pray. Not that he does not know it, but he's well aware of what happens. But that's a duty God has given to his children, that we intercede on behalf of the others as well. So this morning, I just want us to think about things in our hearts, people in the community who still need to know God's love, people in our families who might still not be walking closely with our God, and for various other needs, health needs, and other things which we are aware of in our church family. EBA has asked us to pray for Galston Baptist Church. Galston Baptist Church is in east coast of East Anglia, just south of Great Yarmouth. So they're led by Reverend Mike Flynn, and he's been there with them for the last 3 years. And he says that the Sunday worship is their primary focus of the church. And they run other groups as well. So they run two main groups. One is called as the Life Group, which they run on a regular basis. And then they run another group with few volunteers, and that's called as the Well. That's run twice weekly as a drop-in. So the things they provide include breakfast, a food bank, and a food pantry, meeting or catering to the needs of the population which they have at the moment. I think they're thankful for new children who are attending the church. So during Christmas, they were able to put a nativity show this year, which they weren't doing before. And they rehearsed it, and it was a lot of fun, was what he had said. Things he'd asked us to pray for is that the love of Jesus is shared deeply and widely in the area served by GBC. For those who visit the Well and have started the next step in their faith journey, for resources for the church, especially for the Well, so that it is self-sustainable, and GBC to continue to seek God, His blessing, and unity as His church, and for wisdom for Mike and the leadership team as they seek to build on what God has been doing. It's exciting to hear like what other churches do as well. And their prayer request is not much different sometimes from what our prayer request is. Well, like, we want to see people reached in our community. We want our activities and our outreach to reach people and bring them in. And we want God to bless us with bonds of love so that we are serving God together as one body. And for wisdom for our minister Pulani and the leadership team as well. So as we seek God and move forwards, that God would give us the clear direction. Let's pray. Let's be silent, or we can pray openly about the church or other needs that are there in our hearts. And then I'll pray and finish.
This is the God we adore, our faithful, unchangeable friend, whose love is as great as in power, and neither knows measure nor end.
Amen. Lord, this morning as we dwell in your presence, Lord, you know our heart's desires. You know our needs. You know the needs of this community. Lord, you've placed us here as a family together to be the salt and light of Shotgate. Lord, we pray for all those families who reside in this area. Lord, even though we may not be able to see them now with our eyes, but Lord, we know you're a God who sees them from far afar. You know what they're doing at the current moment. You know what's on their hearts, what their needs are, and Lord, where they are in their walk with you. Lord, with hearts filled with burden and love for them, Lord, we pray that you will bring them closer to you, that you would fold them in your love, Lord, that you would embrace them, and Lord, that you would call them to be your own. And this morning, Lord, we pray in one accord that you would do that greatest miracle that you only can do. Lord, we seek, we ask, and we want them to know you. And that is our heart's desire. And Lord, as we serve and do the various activities that we do, Lord, I pray that you will bring in them a conviction which only you can bring. That all the activities would not just be a social, but would be a time where people will know you, a time where they would encounter you, that they will hear you, and that they will turn to you. Lord, let this year be a year of harvest for us as a church and for your kingdom. Lord, for each and every one of us who are gathered here, and Lord, for the others who are not here in this morning with us, Lord, we pray that your hand will reach out and touch them at their point of need. Lord, that you will touch and restore and do the work only you can do. Lord, we pray and we believe that you are at work amongst us. Lord, we also remember Galston Baptist Church, Lord, for their minister, Reverend Mike Flynn, and for all the activities that you are doing through them in their community. Lord, as they have asked, Lord, that they will continue to serve you faithfully. And Lord, that you would lead them in their faith journey, the programs which they do, the well and the life groups. Lord, I pray that you will bless them, that they'll be self-sufficient. And Lord, the people who would walk into those activities will know you and know that you are their Savior. You love them and you care for them. And we especially pray for their minister and the leadership team as they seek to build on what you are doing, Lord, in those exciting times, that you will lead them and you will guide them and you will continue to use them for your glory. Lord, we thank you that you are able. Amen. Before we share Holy Communion together, let's sing one more song. And you can be seated as we sing this song and reflect and prepare our hearts to share in the Holy Communion.
bless the Lord. Thank God. It's no longer I that believes. It's Christ.
There we are. Now it's me speaking. We bless the Lord. We thank the Lord that it's no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me. As we come to share before the Lord's table in the Holy Communion, I invite us to have that thought, hold that thought in our mind, that we are disciples together in Christ. We are Christ's disciples. I will be sharing a little later a reflection on discipleship. And I pray that as disciples of Christ, as we walk together in Christ, we share in the communion, in a covenant that we have. We have a covenant with God, and we have a covenant one with another. And so every one of us who believe in Jesus Christ, every one of us who share in the faith and in the life of Christ, you are welcome to share in the Holy Communion as we share together. And so as we gather at the Lord's table, we profess that God has made us a people. We have been shaped by God's will. And Jesus calls us together to meet in his name. The Spirit binds us together and leads us into truth. And here is the table, the Lord's table spread as for a feast. Bread for breaking, wine poured out for drinking. Signs of his love and hospitality, symbols of his life broken, his blood poured out. As he is risen and is alive, present with us here today. Evidence of God's covenant grace and of his promise to us. So we come in faith to the table, you and I, companions in this journey, some of us fresh and eager, others weary, in need of nourishment, all of us conscious of our failing and of his strengthening grace. And so come now, don't hesitate. The feast is ready, and the Lord himself invites you. As we lift our hearts to the Lord in prayer. Creating and redeeming God, we give you thanks and praise. Your covenant of grace was made for us, for our salvation, in Jesus Christ our Lord. We come this day to covenant with you and with companion disciples, to watch over each other and to walk together before you in ways known and still yet to be known. Pour your Spirit out, we pray. Help us to walk in your ways, that the promises we make one with another, the prayers we share with another, may become an offering of love, our duty and our delight, truly glorifying to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, in our congregation, in our association, and in the wider union, and in the community of believers, we make a commitment of love, of prayer, of grace, and so to fulfill your purpose. Amen. I'm going to ask Maureen and Glennis to come forward and help us with the sharing of the Holy Communion. One people, one loaf, a sign of our common faith, the testimony to the generosity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take this loaf, food for faith, and feed on it with thanksgiving. And so we're going to share the bread, and as you receive it, feel free to partake of it. And with this cup, we celebrate one people, one cup, a sign of the new covenant poured out for you and for many. It is a covenant sealed by his blood. When we drink, we must be thankful and remember his saving blood. Amen. I will ask us to receive the cup, and when we do so, keep hold of it. We will drink together. Let's share the cups. One body, one faith, one love, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let's take the cup together. Holy God, we have been nourished and had our thirst quenched through bread broken and wine poured in thanksgiving for your Son, Jesus Christ. Send us out to be as generous to those we meet, that we might show through word and deed that he is not dead, but he is alive. Reveal yourself to us in every way, and reveal yourself through us to others. In the name of your Son, Jesus, who is our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Will we hold on to the cup? Yes, we collect them right away. And then we go for the next song, which is Ancient Words, Ever True. You may recall this is one of my favorites. Ancient Words, Ever True. Take our seats. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts, all in the ancient words divine. Ancient words, ever true. Changing you, we have come, we these ancient words that we share from Scripture, they do change lives, you know. They change our lives from wherever we came from, wherever we were, however lost or however we thought we were not lost. But when God's word comes into a heart, it arrests your heart. There's something that God's word does, which is hard to describe. But your life, my life, was arrested by his love. And when his word speak to us, he changes us. He changes us. And he changes us for the better. He restores us to that which he created us to be. We shared about celebrating Christ, celebrating his birth. We celebrated his birth and we had all the joy and all the celebration. We then talked about how he grew. He grew strong in favor with God and in favor with man. God's grace was on him. Scripture says in Luke chapter 2, which was our readings for last week, that he grew in wisdom and in grace, and the grace of God was with him. So we continue to reflect on the fact that Christ is not just for Christmas, but today we say Christ is for disciples. Christ is for disciples. You see, when the gospel writers write about Christ, often they will start about, as Matthew would do, they will start talking about the genealogy. They probably talk centuries before Christ. Then they slow it down to decades. We hear about his birth. And the next time we hear he's about 12 years old in the temple. Sort of 12 years have gone. And the next time we hear, he is beginning his ministry in baptism and he is beginning his public ministry. As though 30 years are condensed into the beginning part of his biography. And then we hear about the years that he made disciples, which is the majority of the Gospels. They're talking about how Jesus called his disciples, how he taught his disciples, how he lived with them, how he demonstrated the kingdom of God to his disciples. And so I say this as an invitation that not only do we celebrate Christ, his birth, not only do we celebrate his growing and living among us, growing in strength, in wisdom and in grace, but the rest of the time he calls us to be his disciples. He then spends the rest of his ministry pouring his life to his disciples, making disciples, which is why when he is about to ascend to heaven in Matthew chapter 28, which we often refer to as the Great Commission, Jesus comes to them and says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age." As though Jesus says, you have seen me, you have seen how I live, you have seen the kingdom of God through me, therefore go and live likewise. You've seen me make disciples, go and make disciples. Continue to be my disciples. And the passage we are reading, indeed in line with the sharing of Holy Communion, is about Jesus preparing for the Last Supper, preparing to have the Last Supper. It says on the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, The disciples come to him and they say to him, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover? Where do you want us to prepare for you to share this special meal with us?" And he says to them, "Go into the city. You will meet a man. Tell him, 'My master, our master said, where will the preparations be? Where shall we prepare for the Passover?'" So the disciples did as Jesus directed them, and they prepared for the Passover. I say this to reach to our reflection from last week, that not only do we celebrate Christ, but we participate in the work of God. Remember how Abraham, when he's walking with Isaac, Isaac asks him in Genesis chapter 22 and says, "We've got the fire, we've got the wood, we've got the knife, we've got everything ready. Where is the lamb for the offering?" Calling us to that place of preparation and participation, of putting effort, and of putting our names on the list and participating in what God is doing. He says, "Go and prepare, then I will come and eat with you." The special thing about eating food or sharing in communion as an act of worship in Scripture comes from the culture of the day, where to eat with somebody was a very special thing. Remember how they accused Jesus of eating with sinners? Because you see, to share in a meal, what it meant was you are sharing in the life of that person. If you read Scripture many a time in the Old Testament, there will be clean things and unclean things. Clean food and unclean food. Clean people, unclean people. Clean items and utensils and unclean utensils. And whenever the clean and unclean touched each other, the clean became unclean. So uncleanliness was contagious, but cleanliness was not contagious. And so whenever you sat at a meal in those days, you would sit in a meal with a big bowl of food. If you was unclean, you are touching the food and you are sharing the food. The person who's clean is now unclean. But Jesus turns it round. When they accuse him for eating with sinners, he says, "I came for them. I came to make them clean." And so when Jesus shares at a meal, he's taking their culture and making it upside down. He's saying to them, "I will share in the life with whosoever, and I will not be unclean, but they will be clean. I will share my righteousness with them." And here is the making of disciples. Sitting at meal with Christ, each one of us, whoever we are, wherever we are in life, coming in and sitting with Christ, beginning to be taught of him and learning of him, and beginning to walk with him. And when they prepare for the meal, Jesus comes and shares the Passover meal with his disciples. And while they're eating, you see, back in that day, what they used to do was, while they are sitting at meal, they would sit at specific sitting arrangements. Remember when Jesus said, when you are invited for a meal, don't place yourself in a senior or more respectable place. So the host of the feast would have his or her place, and then next to them will be the one who's closest in love. Remember when they were having the meal, that we read about John being the one who was nearest to him. So the person sitting next to him and leaning over, their sofas were not like the chairs we are sitting in where you lean in the back. You would lean on the next person. and the next one will lean on the next one. So certainly when you are at a meal with somebody, you are in contact with them. Or at least you are in contact with someone who's in contact with someone who's in contact with them. You are in close fellowship with them. And during a meal, what they would do, someone would give a recitation. Or someone will stand up and give a mathematical formulation or a philosophy. Or someone will recite a poetry or some form of art, demonstrate something that will amaze everybody. And so while they are having a meal and waiting for the after dinner speech, maybe you call it an after dinner speech, Jesus brings these words to them. He says, "Take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood." They are absolutely scandalized. How can we eat your body? How can we drink your blood? And he says, "Do it as often as you do so, remembering me." And so I pray that as Jesus' disciples, not only do we share concerning him, we share him. We share our faith one with another. See, when we talk about disciples, it's often said that there are four key elements of disciples. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, the people of God, and the mission of God. And so when he said, "Where will I eat the Passover eating with my disciples?" he meant, where will I share the mission of God with my disciples? Where will I share the Spirit of God? And where will I share the Word of God with my disciples? And when he sends them out in chapter 28, he says, "Go in my name. Make disciples of all nations." As if to say, share the word of God with all people, all disciples. Share in the Spirit of God. Share in the life of the people of God and in the mission of God. And he said to them, "Take and eat." He said to them, "Take and drink." He didn't force feed them. He didn't force drink them and shove it down their throat. He invited them. He said, "Come on in. Take that step. Take and eat. Take that step. Reach out. Take and drink." You see, discipleship is not forced on anyone. But it takes an extra step. You take the step. When the disciples came to Jesus and said, "The people are hungry. Where will we, how will we feed these people? They are hungry." Jesus turned to them and said, "You give them something to eat." There is always a step to be taken by us in order to participate in what God is doing. We cannot sit back and wait, wait for an angel to turn up and make things happen. But there is always a taking of a step. When Jesus called his disciples, he always called them to take a step. They so much, they each left something behind. They took a step to follow him. When he's going to have a fellowship with them, to have the Last Supper with them, he sends them and he says, "Take a step. Go into the city. Look for that man. When you find the man, ask him yourself. And when he shows you, prepare for the communion. Prepare for the supper." There is always a step that you and I have got to take. And I go further and say, there is always a sacrifice to being a disciple. They say to him one day, "Some of us left fields and farms and we left our animals and families. What will we gain?" Because there is always a sacrifice to discipleship. It doesn't come rolling on a flowery bed of ease and happens while we are asleep. There is always an effort on our part. There is always a sacrifice. Taking God at his word. There is a place for G2R in discipleship. We will continue, by the way. We are continuing with G2R, and we will continue reflecting on books of the Bible. There is a place for the Word of God. There is a place for private personal prayer and reflection. There is a place for Bible study. There is a place for reading scripture in discipleship. In fact, it's imperative that we pay attention to the Word of God, that we listen to the Word of God, that we explore the Word of God and put it into action. And there is a place for the Spirit of God. We are not mere academicians who read scripture for its textual interest, but the Spirit of God speaks to us through scripture. Those ancient words we were singing about earlier, those words that were written so many years ago, but they are as alive today as they were when they were written, because of the Spirit of God who speaks to us. Jesus said to his disciples, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He said, "I will be with you. I will not leave you alone, but I will leave you with another comforter. The Holy Spirit whom the Father sends, the world does not know him, but you know him because he is with you and he is in you, and he will teach you all things and remind you everything that I have said." Discipleship is about following the Spirit of God as he leads. And discipleship is about fellowship one with another. The people of God. It's not me, myself, I and myself and my Bible and off I go. But discipleship has to do with fellowship with one another. Scripture says, iron sharpens iron. We sharpen one another. We encourage one another. You know, there are some people who are encouraged by just seeing yourself. Just being around you, being where you are. Their faith is encouraged. Don't deprive us of the encouragement of being around you. Don't deprive us of the strength of hearing your voice, seeing you do something, hearing you say something, being where you are. Give us the opportunity to be blessed by you. And in so doing, we follow the mission of God. We do that which God wants us to do. As individuals, as a church, as believers, the world over. We are disciples of Christ. Not only do we celebrate his birth and his growing and his ministry, but we participate in what he is doing today. We participate in being disciples and in making disciples. And so I invite us to think and reflect on those words, in that being disciples of Christ, what step am I taking to be a disciple, to learn of him, to participate in what he is doing? He said, "Go and prepare for my meal." What am I giving? What rod am I giving him? If I was Moses, I would say, "I've got a stick in my hand. What stick am I bringing that God will use?" Elisha said to the woman, "Go and get the buckets of oil that you've got. Start pouring. Use what you've got." Jesus said to them, when they said, "People have nothing to eat," he said, "What have you got? I'll use what you've got. The 2 fishes and 5 loaves of bread, bring them here." He blesses them and feeds the 5,000. And so I invite us to bring ourselves, bring what we've got. Whether it's time or effort, whether it's prayer, or it's a phone call or sending a message, whatever you've got, bring it before the Lord and see what God can do to bless others and to bless you with it. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we open our hearts and as we open our minds to follow you and indeed to follow the Great Commission, we pray that, Lord, we will bring to you all that we have and all that we are, so that you may use it. So that you may use it for your glory. So that we may grow in you. We may grow in your grace. as your disciples, Lord, as we follow you, that we'll learn of you and we'll demonstrate who you are to the world around us and to those that we are in fellowship together, to each other as a church. We build and strengthen one another. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. And we'll have a closing hymn, King of Kings, Majesty.
Jesus, we live to serve you, the living King, the God who created everything, and God who loves us. Lord, as you have given us the Great Commission, Lord, as we go into this world now, Lord, as we go, help us to make disciples. Lord, we give whatever you have given to us, the talents, the giftings that you've placed in our life, Lord, we give them to you. And Lord, I pray that you will use those gifts to the extension of your kingdom, that we will make disciples as we are disciples of you. Use us for your glory till we meet again next week and continue to give you praise. Let our lives be songs of praise. Let our lives be examples that people will see and turn to you. Lord, give us boldness to speak about your love and what you have done in our lives. Amen. Let's share God's grace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.